I'm Ms. Fassi Aaron. You are tuned into a Juno Afternoon here. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host for today. Jamie Rice couldn't be here. In the studio with me now is Robert Pearson, who's involved with the Alaska Youth Choir. In fact, he's a parent of one of the singers. They got a Saturday spring concert coming up. Robert, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So first of all, for people who don't know, what is the Alaska Youth Choir?
The Alaska Youth Choir is a program that's been around Juno for over 20 years, and it provides an opportunity for kids between 6 and up to 18 to do a formal choir, learn more about music, and to sing at performances throughout the year, usually 4 formal concerts and up to 4 to 6 other opportunities to perform as a choir.
How often do they practice?
The practices are just once a week, usually for an hour and a half, one night a week, so it's not a huge time commitment, which is great. We know how busy families are. You just commit to that once a week and then to showing up for your performances.
And then you got a performance coming up this Saturday night.
This Saturday, the choir will be singing at Faith Lutheran Church, which is out in the valley near Del Rey Street. And I'll explain a little. There are actually sort of 3 choirs involved. The small children, called the preparatory choir, and then there's an intermediate choir for kids more like in the 10 to 11 range. We have an advanced choir for the kids who are advanced, usually a little bit older. And the 3 choirs, each will perform some songs appropriate to their level, and then they all get together. It's beginning and the end of the concert, usually, and they'll perform as a big group.
About how many youth are in the group?
There's around 40 youth total in all 3 choirs put together, and that's a number that's great, and we would like to increase that number as much as we can and encourage people to try out for the choir. Every year in August, we have tryouts, and it's open to anybody, 6 on up, as long as they're a youth.
And you've got a finale concert coming up in the near future.
Yeah, after the performance on Saturday night in May, we'll have sort of the major end-of-the-year choir with all the groups. It'll be, everything they've learned, and it's really kind of the end-of-the-year spectacular.
What will they be singing this Saturday?
This Saturday, we've got a selection. We're during the Easter season. There are a few pieces related to that, like some Catholic Mass pieces and a wide variety of international songs. I think that's one of the most interesting things about our upcoming performance. We have Sakura Sakura, a Japanese folk song. We have a suite of South African music, and we have a couple pieces from New Zealand, traditional Maori New Zealand songs. And there's about 14 total, so I won't read them all off right now.
How long do you think it will take?
Just an hour, or a little over an hour, from about 7 to 8 p.m.
And you're a parent.
I'm a parent of one of the intermediate choristers, yes.
What makes him the Alaska Youth Choir important to you as a parent?
I think a lot of parents, maybe almost all of us, are interested in getting our children interested in music. It's an important part of life. I know you're a musician, Jeff, and it's a way that it really gets kids involved in music. They get to appreciate it and love different kinds of music, and they learn a little bit of music theory. I want to emphasize it's not kind of an academic class. It's basically at the practices you sing. But we have an excellent director in Missouri Smythe, who's a veteran director of choir, has been around for many years here in Juno, involved in the music scene. And she teaches gradually how to read music, how to understand the chords and harmonies and things like that, starting out when they're beginners. So it's a way to get some music theory and music appreciation and learn to perform and have fun at the same time.
Cool. Are you looking forward to Saturday night?
I am. This is our first year that my son's been in the choir, and the performances really are, you know, inspiring and a lot of fun for everybody. So we really would love to have as many people from Juneau as can come, and the tickets are very inexpensive. It's $10 for adults and $5 for kids. So that's Saturday at 7 p.m. and at the Faith Lutheran Church out in the valley.
Cool. Robert Pearson, thank you so much for coming by the station here today. Is there anything like you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Just that I think I mentioned in August there'll be tryouts for next year. We love to have as many kids as possible in the choir. The more kids, the better it is, and the more friends you can make. So if you'd like more information, please call us at 789-1941, or you can email Alaska Youth Choir, all one word, at Gmail. And we also have a Facebook page, Alaska Youth Choir. If you'll contact us any of those ways, we'll get you all the information you need for future performances or to possibly try out in August.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 9th of March, 2016. It's the birthday of a writer who called his own books the chewing gum of American literature. Crime novelist Mickey Spillane, born Frank Morrison Spillane, Brooklyn, 1918, son of an Irish bartender. He was selling ties in a department store when he met a co-worker whose brother produced comic books, and Spillane went to work for him, writing comics, and he invented a private eye named Mike Hammer. He turned out more than 30 novels, most of them featuring Mike Hammer, including Kiss Me Deadly, The Girl Hunters, Body Lovers, and The Killing Man. His books sold more than 225 million copies. It's the birthday of Vida Sackville-West, born near Sevenoaks, England, 1892, daughter of an English baron. She grew up in the ancestral mansion in Kent, a building with 365 rooms. She was beautiful, more than 6 feet tall, had dark eyes, fell in love with several women, some of them schoolmates. When she was 21, she married a diplomat, Harold Nicholson, even while she was in a passionate affair with another woman. She said of Nicholson, "Our relationship was so fresh, so intellectual, so unphysical, that I never thought of him in that aspect at all. Some men seem to be born to be lovers, others to be husbands. He was of the latter category. An unconventional marriage, but they remained devoted to each other for the rest of their lives, wrote to each other daily when they were apart, raised a son together." When Vida Sackville-West was 30, she met Virginia Woolf at a dinner party, fell in love with her, they became friends, and then lovers. She was the inspiration for the main character in Woolf's novel, Orlando. Sackville-West wrote more than 15 novels herself, but today she's better known for her writing on gardening. She wrote a weekly gardening column for The Observer for 15 years, and that's what is still read today. Here's a poem for today by Ron Kirchee entitled Nancy Drew. Merely pretty, she made up for it with vim, and she got to say things like, "But gosh, what if these plans should fall into the wrong hands?" And it was pretty clear she didn't mean plans for a party or a trip to the museum, but something involving espionage and a Nazi or two. In fact, the handsome exchange student turns out to be a fascist sympathizer. When he snatches Nancy along with some blueprints, she knows he has something more sinister in mind than kissing her with his mouth open. Locked in the pantry of an abandoned farmhouse, Nancy makes a radio out of a shoelace and a muffin. Pretty soon the police show up and everything's hunky-dory. Nancy accepts their thanks, but she's subdued. It's not like her to fall for a cad. Even as she plans a short vacation to sort out her emotions, she knows there will be a suspicious waiter, a woman in a green off-the-shoulder dress, and her very jittery husband. Very well, but no more handsome boys like the last one, the part in his hair that was sheer propulsion, that way he had of lifting his eyes to hers over the custard, those feelings that made her not want to be brave, confident and daring, polite, sensitive and caring. Nancy Drew, a poem by Ron Kirchhey from Fever, published by Red Hen Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Staples, offering tech services for small businesses like PC setup and repair, some tasks completed by the next day. Staples.com/tech services. Staples. Make more happen. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this station comes from the Augustus Brown Swimming Pool, located at 1619 Glacier Avenue in downtown Juneau, offering aqua aerobics on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. until 12 p.m., and stretch aquatics on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 a.m. until 11:45 a.m. Schedules are available online at juneau.org/parkrec/pool. More information at 586-5325.
About 17 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Jeff Brown. I'm your host today, filling in for Jamie Waste, who couldn't make it this afternoon. In the studio with me now is Matt Lillard from Eagle Crest. Matt, thank you for coming down to the station.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, I go online at skijuneau.com and find out all this information, but it's not as fun as having you in the studio.
Yeah, no, I certainly wanted to come down and just give an update on what's going on up at Eagle Crest. And unfortunately, as you can probably tell from the warmth and moisture we've had over the past couple of days, and in fact the past month and a half, unfortunately, the main mountain, we had to close it for now and hopefully wait for more snow. So we will be opening the Porcupine area Thursday through Sunday this week for four more days, and then that, too, will suspend operations there as well as of Sunday afternoon. And, you know, it's still relatively early March, and we could still get some snow, so we're still holding out hope, and hopefully we can reopen the Ptarmigan Chairlift at some point this season. But as of now, we've really stretched it as long as we possibly can. You know, we looked at different ways to try to make the snow last, but just with normal skier traffic and people coming down, there was just not a reasonable, responsible, safe way to operate the mountain anymore.
How was the reaction from the public then?
It's been generally good. You know, I think they realize that, you know, it's been another challenging season. It's certainly better than last year. We skied 59 days on the main mountain. We had some great powder days, especially in December and January. And people realize we really pushed it as hard as we can. And we've pushed it past the point that, you know, a lot of operators would, and a lot farther than we have in the past, to give, you know, our skiers and the public as much access and skiing and riding to the mountain as we can. So I think they're understanding. I mean, everybody's disappointed. We all would really like to have some spring skiing. We had to cancel a lot of our spring events like the Slush Cup and Big Mountain Games and other things like that. So, you know, we're disappointed, as is everybody else. But I think all in the whole, people are generally understanding.
What would be the first event if you can – I guess that just takes time to figure out.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, it's you know, if we were to reopen, I'm not sure if we'd have events or not, or just enjoy the skiing. But, you know, springtime is always a good time for barbecues and things like the Slush Cup. That's our, you know, our annual, you know, end of the season celebration up at the mountain. And, you know, we're hoping that next year we get to bring it back. It's going to be 2 years now that we won't be able to have it. But, you know, we're confident that, you know, next one will be another year. And like I said, we had some really good days. We had some really good stretches of weather up on the mountain. And just unfortunately, the month of February did not treat us very kindly at all. And, you know, we need some return to some cold temperatures and some good snow, and hopefully we can reopen the mountain. So, you know, be patient. And obviously, like you mentioned, at skijuneau.com or our Facebook page, there are always great spots to find updates on what's going on. And if anything changes, we'll certainly come back and stop by and let you know. And like I said, we'll be skiing on the Porcupine Chairlift Thursday through Sunday this week. All of our snow sports school programs will be operational and running, so make sure to come up. And a lot of those end this weekend. And stay in touch, and we're hoping for more snow.
So are you making snow now?
We're not. Unfortunately, it's way too warm. It needs to be below 28 degrees wet bulb temperature for a reasonable amount of time in order for us to turn the snow guns on. And right now it's sitting at about 36 degrees at the base of Ptarmigan. And, you know, it's gone up and down, but we just haven't had that sustained temperature the past couple of weeks. And really, that's been an issue all season. You know, even last year with the lack of natural snow, we had more cold temperature to make snow. So we could make snow on runs like Sneaky and get off the mountain. But we just haven't had that this year. It's been really amazing. We've hovered, you know, in that that really high 20s and above for a really long stretch.
Matt Lillard, thank you for all you do.
Thank you for having me.
This is Bird Note. Here's a story about a hummingbird, the purple-throated carib. It lives on many of the Antillean Islands in the Caribbean, and the male and female birds have differently shaped bills. The female's is long and deeply curved. The male's is shorter and straighter. And this one species of bird has a specialized relationship with two different species of flowering heliconia plants. One plant has a blossom that has a long curved corolla, an excellent fit for the bill of the female purple-throated carib. The second plant has a flower that's an excellent fit for the male bird. It delivers a larger dose of nectar, which the male needs because it's 25% bigger than the female. The birds help pollinate the flowers, so the relationship has a payoff for the heliconia, too. This is an example of co-evolution, where different species evolve in conjunction with each other, continually matching each other's changing adaptations. When research documenting it was published in 2003, one scientist remarked that this carib-heliconia relationship was the most convincing evidence for co-evolution that he'd ever seen. The only thing better, he said, would be if I could live for a million years and watch it actually happen. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Support for this station comes from Ken Kelsch, candidate for mayor. Paid for by Kelsch for Mayor. 1586 Evergreen Avenue, Juneau, Alaska.
It's 23 minutes past the hour and you are tuned into Juneau Afternoon. Our next guest is Laura Haywood from the Juneau Symphony. Laura, thank you for coming by.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So you got a big weekend coming up.
We do. We have Symphony Showcase. That's an annual event where our wonderful symphony musicians get to play in small ensembles instead of in the big symphony.
You've been doing this since 1993.
We have. And it's just a great opportunity for them to show off how versatile they are. They can play in a big group or they can play as a duet or a trio or a quartet. We have a string quartet and that sort of thing.
I was wondering if you have something like a mission statement for this weekend.
Well, I don't know that there's an official mission statement, but I would say, from my point of view, that's it, to show off how versatile these musicians are. And, you know, if you're listening to them as part of a large section, you don't realize how great the artistry is when they're, say, playing a solo violin.
What's on this weekend?
So I can give you some highlights from this. So one of the groups that we have is the Mendenhall Quartet, and these are four young ladies who are here in Juneau earning their master's degree in teaching with the jam program, and they're playing a Mendelssohn quartet, and then they're also playing a brand new work written just for them by Tyree Peeney, who is a music teacher out at Thunder Mountain High School, and he's also a very accomplished cellist and composer. So that will be a world premiere, written for the Mendenhall Quartet. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a lovely piccolo duet with Colleen Torrance and Lisa Ray, and they're accompanied by Grace Lee on piano. I think that'll be a lot of fun. We have Sally Schlichting, who is always a mainstay of the showcase. She is doing a couple things, including a duet with Tim Ayer on the tuba. So it's a flute tuba duet. That'll be a lot of fun.
That's new.
Yeah, and she'll also be doing a flute duet with Catherine Kurtz. And they'll be accompanied by Kyle Farley Robinson, who's a very young player who's excellent. I think he's in high school, finally. He was in middle school. I think he's in high school now. Excellent player. One of the quartet, is Ruth Hogel, who's the cellist in the quartet, is going to do a duet with Laurie Hagee, who most people know is a wonderful pianist and the director of the jam program. Let's see. And then there'll be a big one. It's a Vivaldi piece that was all put together by Sarah Brown. Sarah Radke Brown is a wonderful soprano in town, and she'll be singing. And she has a whole ensemble with her, featuring Steve Tata, Ken Leghorn, and Kristen Garreau on the violin, Sophia Butler and Heather O'Clary on the viola, Megan Johnson will be on the cello, and they'll be accompanied by Judy Mitchell on a keyboard. And I think it's going to be a keyboard that's set to sound kind of like a harpsichord. This is Vivaldi, after all. So I think I've hit the high points there. It'll be a great program with a lot of variety.
But how long will the program last?
The program itself is about an hour. There will be an intermission, and we're going to have a little reception afterwards. Board members like to bring in cookies and things and punch, and there will be an opportunity to visit afterwards.
How do the pieces get selected?
They pick them themselves. So I send out a call to the whole orchestra, who wants to participate, and some of them get very excited to do this, and they may have pieces they've been thinking about all year, and then they get to put their ensembles together and perform.
Is there a theme?
Nope, not this year. Maybe there has been in other years, but I think everybody is in a spring kind of mood, but that's about as much of a theme as I can come up with at the moment.
Sometimes they just develop by happenstance.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yes. So Saturday, it'll be Saturday night at Northern Light Church at 8 o'clock, and Sunday out at Aldersgate, which is the one that's near the movie theater on Cinema Drive out there, Aldersgate Church, and that'll be at 3 p.m. And I also should mention, if you are a season ticket holder for the symphony, you already have your tickets because it's part of our season ticket package. And if you need to buy tickets, they're $15 for adults and seniors and $5 for students, including UAS students. And you can get them at all the usual places like Hearthside and the Jack and our website, junosymphony.org. So I may have motored through all that a little too fast, but just wanted to make sure I got it in.
I don't want to let you go out of here without telling us what's happening with the cabaret.
Well, Jeff, I've been doing the Juno Cabaret since it started in 2004. And now that I'm working for the symphony, I was sort of overwhelmed and have decided to step back. But no problem, because Tom Loker is on it. And there will be a Juno Cabaret March 20th with all your favorite singers. And Tom is orchestrating the whole thing. He's getting a lot of help, I think, from Tom Melville, so it may turn out to be an all-Tom production. Tom likes to sing in these things, and he has access to a few copiers, so he's a very handy person to know. And so that's Sunday, March 20th. If you would like, I could also give you a little preview on the next symphony concert also, which is really exciting. Do we have time for that?
Sure.
I'd be happy to plug our April concert. So this will be, I think it's April 16th and 17th, and it's called Peace and Deliverance, which is actually a very calming sort of a title. And this does have a theme, and it is about redemption in a lot of ways. And the big piece that I'm involved in and excited about is a big choral work by Ray Vaughan Williams, who is a British composer from the 20th century. And this is a giant choral work. We've got some 80 singers now. We're looking for more, especially if you are a male person and you like to sing. We desperately need tenors and basses. But this is the music is incredible, but also the words come from Walt Whitman poetry, and it's about war, and it's very moving and affecting. The words just make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. So Whitman was writing about the Civil War and the carnage of the Civil War, and this piece was first performed in 1936, written by Williams, and this was it was between the two wars, and he had lived through just horrors of World War I. driving an ambulance and, you know, watching thousands and thousands of men die. And he could feel that war was coming again by 1936. So it's a very profound work. It's not a requiem, but it is, it's an overall plea for peace. So I hope you'll come. It's a really going to be a really exciting weekend of music.
Well, Heywood, thanks very much for coming down the station.
Thank you, Jeff.
get a little paper cup, potting soil to fill it up. Teacher sends you home with a pumpkin seed. Put it in the window, warm and light. Give a little drink each and every night. Sunshine and water are all you need to grow your own. Grow your own. Soon you'll see the very first bloom from your own little farm in your own little room. Just grow your own. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Just grow your own. A few years later in earth science class, clear a little corner of the high school grass, fence and trellis and rows of seeds. Chess team will come and measure the plants. Dance club will water them before they dance. Football team come and pull the weeds. Grow your own. Grow your own. Friends in the garden on bended knee, sprouting like a bean or a sugar pea. Just grow your own. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Just grow your own. Someday you'll be living on the 14th floor, high up above the city's roar. Make a little space on the balcony. Get soil and seeds and red clay pots. Cultivate cukes and cherry tomatoes. A whole bunch of basil and parsley. Grow your own. Grow your own. Pesto sauce has extra charm, and it's grown in your very own high-rise farm. Grow your own. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Just grow. An empty lot, your friends and you will hatch a plot to bring it back to life once more. So you clean out the garbage and the cans of oil, spread some clean organic soil, make a city garden with an open door. Grow your own, grow your own, 'cause food tastes better when you grow it up from a city garden or a paper cup. Just grow your own. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Diddly 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 do. Just grow your own. For a little bitty kid or a full grown man or a little old lady with a watering can, it's all the same and simple plan. Just grow your own. Diddly 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 do.
Motherhood, time, health food. What do these things have in common? They all have a history in America.
And it's this kind of history that we bring you each week on Backstory. I'm Peter Onuf.
I'm Ed Ayers.
And I'm Brian Bella. Join us each week as we explore the surprising twists and turns in the story of how we got from there to here. Saturday afternoons at 3 on KTOO News, Juneau.
Don't know the kind of trouble you're getting into to keep on loving me like you do.
Well, you put me on a pedestal, you tell me that I'm beautiful, and not a day goes by you don't let me know how much I mean to you. Well, you got your arms around my neck, you're hugging me every chance you get. You see an opening and you're sticking in a peg, and it's like this through and through. You don't know the kind of trouble you're getting into. Me like you.
Harper Family Band, their guest artist for the 42nd annual Alaska Folk Festival this year. The Harper Family Band. They're going to be appearing at the Alaska Folk Festival on Thursday night and Sunday night during that event, which goes from the 4th of April to the 10th of April. In the studio with me now, Sam Bornstein, here to talk about Makerspace. Sam, thanks for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me.
So, what is Makerspace?
Do you know Makerspace is a workshop space for anyone who wants to get involved and wants to be able to use it? We've got shop equipment, tools, all sorts of stuff. It's really for anyone who wants to come in, work on a project, and be a member.
How did the idea come about?
Well, we're kind of latching onto what's really a global movement of maker spaces, and definitely all over the country, there's these spaces are popping up, and it's part of the sharing economy or whatever we're in now. But the idea is that instead of everyone having their own garage and their own set of tools, we all come together and form a single space, and we'll have all the sorts of tools and equipment that you can't really fit in your own garage, and it's really perfect for Juno.
Where is it located?
We're out by Costco in the Lum Creek area. We're out on Anchor Street, 1759 Anchor Street. You can go to our website and see our address and the map there. And we're having our grand opening this weekend, Saturday, 1 to 4, and we're inviting everyone to come by and check us out. So rain or shine, we'll hope it's good weather for our grand opening.
You've got quite an impressive list of tools, including a 3D printer.
Yeah, we're proud of that one. We've got a lot of different stuff. Yeah, 3D printing is something that I've always been been interested in for a few years. It's a relatively new thing itself. But we've also got woodworking equipment and metalworking equipment, kilns, table saw and sanders, and just all sorts of different tools and equipment for anything you could really want to try and make. So whether you're working on an art project or fixing up some furniture, this is the space that will have that piece of equipment that you don't have at home.
How does it work? You buy memberships?
Yeah, it's a monthly membership, $50 a month for a membership, a little bit more if you want to be able to keep small projects at the space. This is how we keep track of who's using the space and let people come and go as they want, as they need. It'll be a kind of a community of makers is what we hope to foster. So it'll be much more than just paying a due and having access to the space. You'll get it'll be part of the community. We'll learn from each other. I'm going to be teaching everyone how to use a 3D printer, and I want to learn more woodworking skills, for example. So if anyone out there wants to join up and teach me some woodworking skills, I'd appreciate that myself.
What do memberships cost?
It's just $50 a month, so it'll be a lot cheaper than renting your own garage space and trying to keep tools in it for yourself.
And you're also looking for materials.
We're always open to donations of tools and equipment. Almost everything we have was donated, including our table saw and our 3D printer and drill presses was all donated from throughout the community. We've also had a lot of support from other local organizations. JADC had a lot of equipment that they're loaning to us so that we can get started up. And we hope to be able to partner with other groups to do things like offer classes and workshops. We want to be able to run a youth program with help from some of the other community organizations here. So, we want to get people involved. We also want to help teach, STEM subjects and make sure people kids have a place to learn about, science and technology and engineering and math, and get their place that they can get their hands dirty while doing it.
How did you find out about it?
I got excited about makerspaces when I was in college. Helped start one in the basement of my university while I was in college, and I came back to Juneau, and I felt that this was something that really would thrive here in Juneau, and something that we definitely need here. And so I went around, and we formed a group about a little over a year ago, and have been working steadily to start a makerspace here in Juneau.
On Anchor Street.
Yeah, it's a garage space that we've got. It's a neat little shop space. We've got it all kind of divided up into a little woodworking section, a little metalworking section, a little electronics section, and got a nice big garage door and a 2-ton chain hoist we'll be putting in there, and ceramics. There's another little corner for ceramics, so hopefully we'll be able to accommodate any sort of project someone wants to work on. That's the goal.
Sounds pretty exciting.
Oh yeah, I'm thrilled. It's been a lot of fun working on this.
I'm talking with Sam Bornstein here, one of the people involved in the makerspace area in open house 1-4 on Saturday. The address is 1759 Anchor Street. Sam, thank you for coming in. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
We just want everyone to know that this is a shop space for everyone. It's for students. It's for people who just want to tinker. It's for anyone who wants to design or invent something. If you're retired and need a little bit more space for a project you want to work on, this is the perfect place for you, and you should come check it out.
What's the phone number to call?
We don't have our own phone number. Just call me at 209-3103. I can answer any questions you've got if they're pressing. You can email us at genomakerspace@gmail.com, and we have our website at genomakerspace.org, and we have a Facebook group. Search for Genomakerspace on Facebook.
Sam, thanks for coming down.
Thank you very much for having me.
Minutes before the hour, and you are tuned in to a Juno afternoon. The last guest for the day is Darren Snyder, who's going to talk about the Cooperative Extension Service, Cooperative Extension Saturdays.
Yes.
So you got one coming up this Saturday.
Sure do, Jeff. We have our topic on Saturday is Get Gardening in 2016. So we're going to be we're having a public event, free public event at 9 a.m. until noon on Saturday, and we are being hosted by the Zach Gordon Youth Center. So that's where we're going to have the event, and the Southeast Master Gardeners Association. So master gardeners from the Juneau area, including this year's Master Gardener class, will be there and putting on some different seed starting activities, how to plan for your garden, how to start a vegetable garden, and we're just trying to help beginners to get an idea of how to step into it and how to start growing their own food, and to whether it's you want to grow just a pot of tomatoes or basil or something in your window and start simple like that. Or if you have a greenhouse and you've never, you know, been able to use it or use it properly, then we can give you some tips, and we can also help you start some plants. We're going to have some herbs and other vegetables to plant into small pots. And we're going to have some other activities as well. We're going to do what's called seed tape. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I can imagine what it might be.
Yeah, and so what it is is it's something you can buy seed tape or you can make your own. And what we're going to do is we're going to make your own. And so we have rolls of toilet paper, and you can also use newspaper for this. And you just roll it out in a strip, and then you put little dabs of Elmer's glue down. And this is really good for small seeds, especially like lettuce and carrots, which are really kind of hard to put down in the soil very carefully, and you can end up with too many in one spot. Well, when you make seed tape, you space them out exactly where you want them, and then you just lay down the paper that they've been glued onto when it's time to plant later on in the spring, and then you just put a little dirt on that, and you've got yourselves some perfectly spaced out plants, and you don't have to thin them, and it's a really neat innovation that's been going on for the last few years.
That's worth the price of admission already, and it's free.
Exactly. You get what you paid for, but and more.
Is there anything fundamentally different between a vegetable garden and a flower garden?
Well, you know, for those of us who like to start our own seeds, you know, each flower kind of has its own rate of when it's how long it takes to mature and when we expect flowering. Vegetables are generally, we do want to get them started as soon as possible so that we can start harvesting them as soon as possible. And also we are selecting varieties that are adapted to a very short summer. And whereas with the flowers, a lot of times people who are into flower gardens will intentionally space the flowers out so that they're blooming at different times. So either different varieties or different planting times, so that you can space it out throughout the summer.
Dennis Mander, thank you for coming in today. Again, that's happening Saturday from 9 until 12 noon at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. It's absolutely free.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely free. 9 to noon, Zach Gordon Youth Center. You can call us at 523-3280 if you'd like to get more information.